Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Book of Luke. We'll be finishing chapter 23. If you would, Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 54. Let's stand together as we read down through chapter 24, verse 3. Beginning at verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the empty tomb. Lord, we are so thankful that the Lord arose from the dead. We are so thankful that he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we pray now that you would bless this time together in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Luke 24, verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Idle tales. We live in a society that has a hard time sifting through all the information that comes our way. They tell us of discovering bones there in Africa, and they are somewhere between the monkey and the man, and there are going to be those who believe this is a missing link. They're not missing link. They'll find out that these are just bones of monkeys. You know, the problem is that there are people that are willing to listen to idle tales. There are those who listen, and they'll listen to the Word of God, and they'll say, well, no, I won't pay attention to that. I don't want to believe that because he is going to be speaking, and he's going to want me to change, and I don't want to change, and they won't listen. But these words to the disciples by the women seemed to them as idle tales, even though the Lord had prophesied again and again this is what was going to happen. But what a week this has been. What a week that Jesus experienced. There was first the triumphal entry. And we find in Luke chapter 19 that the people shouted out, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the Pharisees came and said, Tell your followers to be quiet. They're making too much ruckus. And Jesus said, If they are quiet, the stones would cry out. Wouldn't it be nice if the stones cried out about the glory of God? And yet they do, don't they? Creation declares the glory of our Lord. We find that continuing in the week, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. I sometimes wonder if Jesus Christ walked physically on this earth right now and he came to the city limits of Sterling Heights, if he would not weep over it. We find that the Lord wept because they would not accept him. We find that Jesus' authority was questioned. They asked him, "Tell us, by what authority dost thou these things?" Or, "Who is he that gave thee this authority?" We believe that Jesus is God and that he had the very authority to speak. But there are those who wanted to know, "Who are you?" The other day, while traveling on I-94, I saw the sign and it said, "Find Jesus in the Quran." Well, I'm going to tell you what, you might find Jesus in the Quran, but you're going to find the way to heaven in the Word of God. There is one way into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the way. There was the question of the tribute money. They were constantly trying to catch Jesus and have something against him. And they wanted to know if it was right to give money to Caesar. And Jesus asked for the coin, you may remember. And he said, "I perceive your craftiness." And he says, "Why tempt ye me? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." We do live in a nation of rules, and we may not always go along with the laws, but we find that there are things that we give to our country, but there are things we give to our Lord. It's good to have the Watkins with us from the great state of New York. And Linda was telling me about this tax increase there on their house property. Talk to Linda afterwards and none of you will complain about your taxes. Unbelievable what they are in the state of New York. But may I say this, we have a right to live in America and pay our taxes. Do you ever think of it as a right? Yeah, it's a privilege, isn't it? Let me scratch that out of my notes. It is not a privilege. Jesus answered the Sadducees about the resurrection. As we learned in Sunday school this morning, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and they were sad, you see. I always liked that. But they came to him with a question. There were seven brothers, and the first one married a wife, and he died. And as the law stated, the second one then had to marry him and raise up a child. But he died, and the third one died, and the fourth one died, and before all seven of them died, and finally the woman died. Wow, can you imagine having, gentlemen, having a wife that your six brothers had? And Jesus said that he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And they constantly brought questions, and he constantly answered them. And they looked at him in bewilderment and wondered, how can he be so smart? Then there's the story in Luke chapter 21 about the widow's mite. Now remember, Jesus had come and the triumphal entry, and these things are happening, and they're happening between the time in which he came in on the triumphal entry and when he would rise from the dead. And Jesus is standing over against the wall watching the people give. It's a little bit different. We hand out plates and the plates go back and forth and you put your offering envelope in it. And most people today either give cash or checks. We have very little in the way of coins. Back then, all they had were coins. And they would put it into this box that was on the wall and it would run down through a tunnel through the wall and onto the other side. And as you threw the money in, it would make a lot of what? Noise. And if you did it right, it would really sound loud. And so he watched as they gave. And the widow came in. And she had two mites, small coins. And instead of throwing them in, she probably just put them in on the side so they just slid right down in. And he said that she gave more than all of them. May I say this, and if you don't learn anything or listen to anything I say today, listen to this statement. The only way you can be right with God is if you are right with your money. If you are not right with your money, you cannot be right with God. Now, some of you don't like that thought, but the fact of the matter is, God expects us to live right with our money. And we need to do that. The Bible says the love of money is what? The root of all evil. The love of money. The love of money. Let me give you this. It's an easy example. You and your wife are working. You bring home $1,000 a week. Now, I just throw that out because it's easy for me to work with $1,000. You can do this with $250. You can do it with $500, whatever. You bring home $1,000 a week. You probably wish I'd like to bring home $1,000 a week. But what is your tithe on $1,000 a week? It's $100. 10%. Plus your offering. You know, God expects us to be honest with Him with our money. You cannot be right with God if you're not right with your money. Then there was the Olivet Discourse. Jesus tells of the last times, and he tells his listeners that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, he knows he's going to die in just a few days. And yet he's still taking time to teach, to answer questions, and he tells them that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised that the Arabs and the Arab nations overrun Jerusalem and the land of Israel. They outnumber them, what, 100 to 1? 200 to 1? 300 to 1? Isn't there a nation over there that our government is thinking of dealing with that has already said within the next 25 years, we will make it so that Israel is no more? And of course, we're going to make some treaty with them. Somehow it doesn't make sense. But what I'm saying is simply this. Don't be surprised, because the Bible says that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then God will give Israel the land. And they will have all the land that was promised to Abraham. They haven't had all that land yet. But they're going to get it one of these days, because God has said it. In Luke 22, we have Judas coveting to betray Jesus. Can you imagine wanting to betray Jesus? Have you ever betrayed Jesus? You say, well, Pastor, I've never betrayed Jesus. Have you ever done something you knew was wrong? You knew it was wrong. You did it anyways. Did you betray Jesus? You did. Let me give you another thought. You go over here to McDonald's and you're going to have lunch, because you would never go to Taco Bell. Sorry, Lance. You would never go to Taco Bell, but you're sitting there eating lunch at McDonald's, and you buy one of their new Angus burgers or their chicken wraps, and you sit down at the table, and you what? You pray. Yet how many people won't pray? Well, people may be looking. Hopefully people are looking. But see, we don't pray because we don't want to be embarrassed. What have we done? We've betrayed Jesus. You know, how many times we betray him without even thinking about it, but Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Then came the Passover, the institution of the Lord's Supper, and another announcement of Jesus' coming betrayal. And then he tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you're going to deny me. And he tells them that. He knows what lays ahead. He knows. It's just around the corner. And then there is the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knows that he is going to be beaten. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be laughed at. He's going to be spit upon. They're going to rip his clothes from him, and he's going to be put naked upon a cross. He knows this is right around the corner. He's there in the garden, and he knows it's just right there. And he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Right about now, Jesus is looking for some people to give him some support. The angel is sent to give him strength. And what happens? When Jesus is most vulnerable, because he knows what lays ahead and the mockery that's coming. What happens? Judas comes with his group of men and arrests him. And what was it that Judas said? This is how you know who the one to take. I'll do what? I'll kiss him. I'll kiss him. Betrayed with a kiss. Jesus is arrested. Peter is watching. He's there warming his hands by the fire as Jesus is going to be going from one trial to another. And he denies Christ three times. Take your Bibles and please look at this, Luke chapter Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 60. I believe that these are some of the saddest words in the Bible. Some of the saddest words, beginning at verse 60, Luke 22. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus would be buffeted. It tells us, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy who it is that smote thee." From one bad thing to another, you talk about a bad hair day. Jesus' trials begin before Caiaphas and before Annas and the Sanhedrin and Pilate and Herod and Pilate. One after another, these trials. During this time, Jesus is mocked and beaten and crowned with a crown of thorns. And finally, Pilate gave sentence, and Jesus is condemned to die. All within this week. Jesus is crucified. It tells us in chapter 23, verse 33, there they crucified him. He dies. He's buried. And now we find chapter 24. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. The tomb is empty. The stone was rolled away, so we can tell that it is empty. And the apostles are told, they told us, he's not there. Remember what he said. The ladies remembered, but the men, for whatever reason, denied it. We know that Peter and John ran to the sepulcher, and they found it empty. You know, we don't sing the song Christ Arose too many times during the year, but usually around the Resurrection Sunday. But I've always enjoyed the words, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that he arose the third day and is victorious over death? That he ascended into heaven and one day he's coming back? Are you a soldier of the cross? I'm not saying, do you wear a necklace and a cross hangs from it? I'm not saying, do you have a tattoo of a cross on your arm? I'm saying, are you an active soldier of the cross? Do you serve him faithfully? Are you a testimony for the Word of God, a testimony for the house of God, a testimony for the people of God? You know, the most important decision you will ever make is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. My wife and I have been married over 42 years, and that was an important decision to marry her, but it was not my greatest decision I ever made. I went off to Bible college in Texas, and I was spent 4 years there. That was not my greatest decision I ever made. When my dad asked me to come back here and work here at the church, and I've been here 40 years now, was that my greatest decision to come back? It was not. The greatest decision I ever made was to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knew the day came in which I knew that I was lost, that I was a sinner, and I needed the Lord. The Lord died for you so that you can have salvation. Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our songbook, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, is our invitation song. His way, if you sing this song, Lord, have thine own way, his way is that you accept him as Savior. His way is that you're willing to come to him. And this morning, if you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you have to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we've looked into your Word. Lord, we thank you that you were willing to spend that final week as in your ministry, in which you went in triumphant and you rose the glorious resurrection. But in between, there was so much agony and pain. Lord, thank you for doing that for us. Lord, we pray now that you would bless this service time. In Jesus' name, amen.